Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love. Have you ever considered what will happen when the language of cosmic love becomes common sense with a common language? Are you aware that this love language is, in fact, the learning process, the creative process, and the processes of consciousness at the quintessential foundation of self-governance? Think about that. Such a language of consciousness has the potential to involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness. This is what cosmic love is all about, higher conscience. Give yourself a checkup from the neck up. What do you think will happen to your world and the world at large as we become more conscious of how we are conscious, both individually and collectively? I'll give you a big hint. Take a good look at the worldwide web of consciousness that the internet has created. Consider this new net reality for what it truly is, a global revolution in higher consciousness. The instant, everywhere, interactive internet has eliminated space and time. We're all connected in a global village now. All knowledge is at your fingertips. Knowledge power as never before known to humanity. But where's the cosmic love, you may ask? There's a new net reality shaping the consciousness of humanity. Freedom to know better and the opportunity to do better has far outpaced the ability of our core institutions to keep up with the revolutionary capabilities for all humanity. That's what the internet represents, the evolving consciousness of humanity, the collective consciousness of humanity, and the collective future of humanity. That's where cosmic love comes in. Any good metaphysician with his finger on the pulse of humanity could tell you that. If you step out of the box of contemporary groupthink and if you become an objective observer of the evolutionary ascent of net reality caused by the internet, you will not only see a huge wave of change coming, but also the nature of that change and the role that cosmic love will play in change events. There is a natural evolutionary path to these changes. Cosmic love is a blueprint for that change. It always has been. But humanity is just beginning to grasp the multidimensional consciousness required to navigate the vast, uncharted realm of inner space, the internet, at the heart of the internet. This is the new global village consciousness that is defining the collective conscience of humanity. Let's get real. Net reality is what we make it. Where do you think it's going? How do you think we'll get through the birth pangs of a new world being born? Are you ready for the next big thing in the computer internet revolution? Would you agree that the best way to predict the future is to create it? Cosmic love is the answer to these questions. All I ask is that you listen and learn. See how you can catch the biggest wave of opportunity in history. I'll explain how you can ride that wave for phenomenal win-win benefits for yourself and all humanity. Those hearing this are obviously computer literate, so connect the dots. Get a grip on the net reality of global connection with the benefits of cosmic love. Someone has to do it. May it begin with us, United Sovereigns, in a united state of cosmic love. Always victory when we love enough, keep the faith, get the vision, embrace the virtue, make the vow, and claim the victory of cosmic love in your world and the world at large.
Greetings, every soul. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love, June 16th. I'm going to be talking today about the coming solstice energies here on June 20th, coming up here shortly. A lot of people would say that those energies are already starting to matriculate the matrix, you might say. And we're going to talk about these energies and the sequence of energies in the last few months. What's been going on with the eclipses, the Venus transit, and whether that was a trigger event, along with the solstice energies for an unveiling, you might say an accelerated unveiling of the veil, the thinning of the veil, as we're familiar with, this concept of the veil of separation from source or spirit or God or what is thinning. And I have a preface article up on the Cosmic Love homepage that you can look at. There's a graphic there by Edgar Cayce, a quote by Edgar Cayce with a crop circle. The quote's actually in association with this crop circle I refer to as the cosmic keyhole or capstone crop circle. And the quote is that each and every soul will become consciously aware of the ability to communicate with the divine. Now, personally, that's the good metaphor for the thinning of the veil. Personally, I believe that would be a good metaphor for the thinning of the sense of separation from the divine, the ability to communicate with the divine, a process whereby each and every soul will become more consciously aware of the source field, the quantum field, the unified field, God, divine love, however you personally frame the concept of the divine. So, anyway, I'm going to just going to call in show today. You can call in. We can discuss dimensions of this energy shift, this consciousness shift, this thinning of the veil, however you like to refer to it, portents that you see. One thing I would like to reference in this regard is a recent article I did for those who are following writings on my website or on my email list. I had a piece recently that got a lot of interest on the 2012 electromagnetic shift. This is just another way of saying the energy shift or the paradigm shift or the consciousness shift or the thinning of the veil. Again, these things are all different ways of saying the same things because they're all related. And it's hard to get one's head around the concept of what's coming other than through exquisite metaphor. So I play around with these different frames of reference to look at this, you might say, this whole systems theory or this holographic field concept of Earth's energetics and this conscious transformation process by giving insight onto specific subjects that, whether it be more the scientific or the more spiritual, metaphysical, I try to give different frames of reference for getting one's head around or framing these concepts. So this recent article, which was a follow-up on the article on the Venus transit, which I had an in-depth thing on the Venus transit that included five YouTube videos, and you can read those links on that I provided on the homepage, Cosmic Love homepage, regarding the Venus transit as a with an understanding of the intimate universe, you might say, the intimacy concept of how it's all connected, how we are in the universe and the universe is in us, and the different ways of understanding these different cosmic trigger events with these different alignments, you know, the eclipses that had the Pleiades in the alignments, the Sun, Venus in the alignment, Sun-Moon eclipses, lunar eclipse. This last couple of months, there's been some interesting cosmic trigger events, and The rate of change continues to accelerate on Earth. Some people would say that the accelerating rate of change is because of the instant everywhere interactive internet. Other people say that that's the effect of the cause, and the cause is the surge in the source field of the energy field, the unified field with Earth's alignment with the galactic plane. As our solar system orbits up and across the galactic plane every 25,800 years, precession of the equinox, and it's happening now in 2012. And this is, of course, what the Mayan calendar is really about. It's galactic alignment of our solar system with this galactic plane of hundreds of billions of solar systems that are in an ecliptic plane, like a flat plane, which looks like the Sombrero Galaxy from deep space, with the great central sun at the middle of our galaxy radiating out through this alignment of hundreds of billions of star systems, and our Earth orbits up and across that and comes into alignment every 25,600 years, actually twice, because it goes up and then it goes down across it. And anyway, we're in that alignment now, and that's why energetics are surging. The source, called the source field, the source energy of aligned energy of the, you might say, the cosmic intelligence of these hundreds of billions of star systems, the collective light of the great central sun radiating out through these hundreds of billions of star systems, is intense, and this field is surging. And it's affecting us on an atomic level, cellular level, our heart centers. Those who have listened to previous programs know I talk a lot about the torus fields within fields. And the torus field is a field like a white hole, black hole at the center of the atom. These torus fields are like the auric field around the human body. There's this center of this torus field in the human body and the heart chakra. There's torus field on a cellular level, so cell mitosis, cell division. There's this whole process of the energy field being the regulating mechanism in cell division and replication. And so this whole understanding of torus fields, even on a galactic level, because our galaxy has a giant torus field around it, like an auric field with a great central sun in the middle of it, and that's the black hole, white hole in the center of that that resonates with every torus field on an atomic, cellular, human, even our Earth. The Earth is a torus field, sometimes called the morphogenic grid of the Earth, responds to the energetics of the solar system and universe, and they're all connected. So with the energy surging in the source field of all this connection of all the torus fields are accelerated with an energy which is explained by David Wilcox in the source field investigations as accelerating evolution, the evolution process, including conscious evolution. So this is coming to a peak in through 12/12/2012, and it's interesting. The dynamics that we're seeing in the different dimensions of it. But if you read that article on the 2012 electromagnetic shift, you will get some insight on what is going on with the electromagnetic fields of the Earth and how the electromagnetic fields have been going through all kinds of changes with these different alignments and alignments with the lunar eclipse, with the Venus transit. It always affects the electromagnetic field of the Earth. But the Schumann resonance of the Earth has been increasing, which is like the heartbeat of the Earth. But the magnetic fields themselves, the polar fields, have been decreasing. And this happens historically throughout Earth's history. There's been pole reversals, energy reversals, of the magnetic fields of the North and South Pole of Earth numerous times. They can see that in core samples. In deep core samples on the Earth, they find out that the magnetics of the molecules have been reversed numerous times in Earth's history, and before that happens, usually there's a decrease in the electromagnetic fields, and that's going on the Earth. It's been going on for some time, and there's a lot of magnetic anomalies that are going on. So this is a call-in show. Do we have a guest on?
Yes. Hi, this is Dennis.
Hey, Dennis. Oh, Dennis,
how are
good
you?
To hear you. Fine, thank you. Well, how you been? I'm for everyone listening, Dennis Korn is a longtime friend who's been involved with preparedness field. I've worked with Dennis over the years and had Dennis on the show a few times. Dennis was just discussing what's been going on with the electromagnetic shift of the Earth.
Right.
And the concern a lot of people have about, if there is an electromagnetic shift or a pole shift, physical shift of the Earth, what that will mean for, Earth evolution, you might say. And there's a lot of speculation on that. You know, I've had this one guy, Gordon Giannamato, on the show twice, and scared the bejesus out of me talking about, physical pole shift like it's a done deal. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the worst case scenarios in the movie 2012. And I don't know about you, Dennis, but, it's like the concept of electromagnetic shift or pole shift, the 3 days of darkness and all that stuff. I bring it up every once in a while and I try to process it, scientifically with understanding of it. So what are you finding out there in the prepper field? And by the way, Dennis is, for those listening, Dennis is the founder of Alpenair Foods, which is probably the longtime premier food reserve company. And he's had his finger on the pulse in this field for a long time. And I was just wondering, what are you hearing in the field?
Yeah, I've been doing this for about 37 years now.
Oh, yeah.
And I do get a lot of folks that call in. I mean, my perspective has always been one, as you well know, of, I don't know if you want to call it family preparedness. It's a good idea to be prepared. I'm not I don't focus on the fear factor. That's, I think, a very personal, individual situation everybody has to deal with. But what I hear out there, obviously, very polarizing time. There's a lot of people who are definitely concerned. The scenarios have never been more diverse. You have things that people can see all around them, the economy, issues in the news, so to speak, various things that happen, the Fukushima situation and others. So you have that, but then you have all of these kind of unforeseen speculations, of course. People are concerned about that. I think those are the ones that a lot of people are just not willing to acknowledge because they are very much unknown. And if you haven't spent a lot of time or energy or did a lot of reading on your site and so forth, that doesn't really become part of your daily thinking.
Well, if there was any real problem, the government would tell us about it, wouldn't they?
Well, yeah, see, you've got that whole situation where we all know that the mainstream media is totally agenda and control-driven. So it's not only what we are told by the mainstream media, is what we're not told.
But we're not told.
And this is what it's funny, as I talk to people, I was just at a show yesterday, for example, talking to some folks that just came by the booth, and some have said, yeah, things are difficult. Others would said, well, what's the point? So
yeah.
That is one thing I see out there, a lot of polarization, a lot of people that are not wanting to acknowledge some of the possibilities. I think it's very interesting, as you were talking about these different influences, cosmic influences, subtle influences, what have you, on consciousness and on energies. It manifests very differently in people. Some people very easily tuned into it. We live in a community here that is very sensitive to these things. A lot of alternative options available. I'm in Northern California, up in the foothills. And a lot of people are aware of this, a lot of classes going on, a lot of discussion about, changes in consciousness and so forth. But if you're in what I hear, it's kind of interesting. I was talking to a couple of people who just moved into the area, and they spent time going around the country and, you know, trying to determine where to settle in. And they've said in this particular area here, boy, sure, a lot of people tuned in to what's going on. But if you live generally in big cities or in certain parts of the country, it's just things that are going on right now are just not on people's minds. I think they've tuned into the mainstream media and the government disinformation programs. They just don't seem to have a connection with all the things you just finished talking about.
They're connected with city life.
There's so much fun things to do
in the city and culture and of course, you know, even people in the country now can go on the internet and have another life.
Oh, the addiction. I mean, then you look at the young folks and
their
addiction with the electronic devices and so forth. They walk down the street and look at texting and they don't even look around them. So the polarization, the diversity of people's attention right now is quite remarkable. And all of these changes, these influences, if they're happening at all to a lot of folks, they're totally unaware of it. They're really not. They wouldn't understand what you were saying if you walked up and hit them on the head. And others are very sensitive to these changes. And every time there is some cosmic event, they may be able to be aware of it, be sensitive to it. But that's kind of one of my questions. And you know, we've talked about a few of these things. Is that we seem to have an audience or an awareness of these influences. But what about all these folks that don't?
Been a concern of mine. I have been trying to target with, you might say, cosmic love, the 1-3% of cultural creatives whose sphere of influence is the 20% who do 80% of the networking, you might say. Mm-hmm. You know, the old 80-20 rule. There's about 20% usually that are really, as cultural creatives, really out there networking, and there's only 1-3% of those cultural creatives that are really focused on, you might say, the higher mental or spiritual insight into cosmic law, universal cosmic law. You know, this understanding of the source field or the unified field of energy as consciousness and energy, you know, these metaphors that really connect the dots to, and I would say frame the connection with this, you know, the order of the universe or the spiritual geometry and frames of reference that are truly universal law, cosmic law. And so cosmic law has been, you know, an attempt to connect with people like that, and of course some will, some won't, you know, so what next. But I think there are a lot more people awakening, and that's the two-edged sword, because they're awakening to, and one part of them is like utter contempt for all the corruption that they're awakening to, that they're starting to see that, you know, the media really is lying to us about a lot of stuff, or covering up, or just keeping the conversation in a very narrow field where it's controlled and not, you know, not mentioning stuff that really is like screaming for attention, you know. And as far as things that are affecting our health, you know, our economy, and just, you know, core issues that there's no real solution, is more like maintain. You know, this, like, the media is like to maintain the status quo. It doesn't challenge it. It doesn't expose it. It doesn't, you know, it is the status quo. I mean, it represents the corporatocracy. And that understanding of the corporatocracy, you know, of corporate interests and how they've influenced the politics and the economics of the United States, people are waking up to that. You know, and, of course, the corporate interests, wherever profits are at stake, you know, the stockholders come before the public. That's corporate law. But that's diametrically opposed to constitutional law. So you've got issues like, well, political issues, you know, like who's running for candidates. Those who represent the Constitution Ron Paul, for example, is considered a nutcase by, you know, the media, mainstream media, and they don't want to give him any drift at all, or, you know. And so these core issues of really freedom and opportunity in a global village where we're all connected, you know, it's beyond borders now. It's an instant everywhere interactive internet. And to give you an example, Dennis, today I was contracting on this service called Elance, where you can use, you know, for graphics and stuff, you can contract with people all over the world. And most of the people that you contract with, I mean, it's like cheap. Like for $30, you get work done that would cost you a couple hundred dollars in the U.S., and you get, I got someone from over in some country over beyond India.
Mongolia.
It's some country over there. Some person's an expert on the type of graphic I needed for, you know, a Facebook fan page, and the parameters of it and the custom stuff worked, and they work with it, and contracted with them to do work, you know. And it was just I put the stuff up, you know, for some bids on the work, and with an hour I got five different people globally. And most of them were out of the United States. I think one of them was the U.S. But it's interesting. I mean, it's like a global village. And you can get work contracted and sent back instantly, you know.
Fascinating.
Isn't that amazing? Like my son turned me on to this, you know. And we had a family reunion.
Here's a question that seems to come up, too, as I talk around, and seems to be the big situation. You talk about all these influences and transitions and effects and so forth, and then we look at the folks, once again, the 20% seem to be tuned into it, and 80% that are oblivious. And so the issues at stake are extremely serious, because we're going further down a very dark direction, so to speak. If things continue on the way they're going, as these folks are trying to hold on to their power and hold on to their influence and so forth. So the question then becomes, as things change, what does the transition look like?
Good question.
Will it be a hard one, an easy one? Will we be able to recognize it? Will these people go down screaming and shaking their fist in the air? What is that transition from where we are now into what you've been talking about, a lot of these changes? What do you think it'll look like?
Well, you know, I really believe that there is going to be a shift in consciousness from the inside out. That this is what's really going on through 12/12/2012, through the end of the year. I really believe these cosmic trigger events energetically are aligning the morphogenic grid of the Earth, the energy fields of the Earth, and our consciousness, which is all interrelated, for a big shift. And my intuition tells me it's going to be an electromagnetic shift of the Earth, which will repolarize, you might say, reboot consciousness of everyone. Because see, there's the brain field is not nearly as strong as the energy field of the heart, and the holodeck, you might say, between our ears, the energy field, the holodeck I refer to, you know, between the upper brain, lower brain, left brain, right brain, forebrain, and rear brain, there's an energy field there. And of course, you know, there's different people. Sometimes a lot of people, when they go into fear, they operate out of the lower brain, which is the reptilian brain, the reactive one. When they're operating out of faith or inspiration, an intuition, you know, with more light or conscience, they're operating out of the upper brain, you know. And I could go into the left brain, right brain, forebrain, rear brain, but there's the energetics are different, and it's interdependent on, you know, the electromagnetic pulse of the Earth, the Schumann resonance, and there's the magnetic fields of the Earth. Now, if there was the magnetic reversal, a pole reversal of the Earth. It will definitely be a reversal in consciousness. It'll, in the process of reversal, they refer, you know, there's all these prophecies about the 3 days of darkness, you know, that, right. that if the Earth would, with a magnetic shift, if the Earth would actually stop and reboot in the opposite direction, spinning in the opposite direction, it would be about 3 days where the electromagnetics would really go screwy on the Earth, and they would go down and they would come back up with different poles. Now, there, you know, if you, there's a lot of people that are really into this subject. The Zeta Talk website goes into this in great details with graphics, how this is something we can expect, and they're quite sure of the subject with their off-planet sources, you know, just like crop circles are giving us off-planet sources of information. And there's some people that are really into that, and I have followed it, and I kind of step back from it and say, could be true. It's interesting. But if this is true, and if there was a reboot in consciousness like this, it'll be like a near-death experience. It's also will be like, I think for a lot of people, it's going to be like being on LSD or DMT, you know, the God molecule, DMT. And I've studied and read about this, and I've studied psychopharmacology, and I understand that what goes on with these neurotransmitters is really is that the biochemical and electromagnetic field of the Earth goes nonlinear. Well, this is what goes on with an electromagnetic, would go on with electromagnetic reversal, with the brain field powering down and powering back up, you know, rebooting, so to speak. It would, the brain would go nonlinear. In other words, we would lose our minds as we've known them. That would definitely be the end of the world as we've known it, because the mind would be...
This is going to happen to, or potentially happen to everyone, or just people who
are... this is the Earth. We're talking about the Earth and everyone there on, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's
pretty
I've been following this, and of course, I write about it metaphorically, and the recent article I did on my website on the 2012 electromagnetic EM shift. The way I put it was that big change, electromagnetic change on our little planet and the universe, has a profound effect on our consciousness. And I went on to say, talked about, you know, the lunar eclipse and the Venus transit are like trigger events in this drama. And that the rate of global change is really accelerating in accordance with cosmic cycles and a cosmic plan that will not budge. In other words, the 2012 phenomena, what they're really talking about is the Mayan calendar thing, which is really a galactic alignment thing that will not budge. That's what's happening. And the understanding of the energy surging and the surge in the source field, which is accelerating change and transformation on an atomic level, on a planetary level, Earth changes that are accelerating all over the planet. You might say the morphogenic grid of the Earth, which is the morphic grid, is morphing. It's changing. So we have Earth changes. Now, there's some people that, you know, this, the media doesn't report, you know, the rate of acceleration of frequency intensity of earthquakes or volcanoes all over the planet. And as we speak, you know, the Mexican, a giant volcano down in Mexico, near Mexico City, is acting like it's going to go off. I mean, but the thing with tsunamis and earthquakes and earth changes, you know, the frequency and intensity has been increasing the last 10 years, almost like an exponential curve, you know, for people that study this. So something's going on, and it's explained very well, you know, with the correct understanding of the Mayan calendar in terms of galactic alignment, you know, with our solar system. So then it comes back to, you know, what's going on with electromagnetic fields in our brain. And NASA recently shut down the satellite that shows the distortions of the magnetic field of the Earth. And they did this, well, some people speculate, is because of the anomalies of the magnetic field are giving the public too much indication of an imminent electromagnetic reversal of Earth's magnetic poles. In other words, they're really starting to show the type of instability that something was going haywire. And, of course, The reason that some of the experts on this subject, like Gordon Giannamato, you know, who was on the show a couple times, he says it's specifically because of this Planet X Nibiru complex, which is like a mini solar system that's coming into our solar system, and people are seeing it beside the sun. There's photographs all over the world. There's websites that show these photographs almost on a daily basis popping up all over, and videos and movies of this, especially when they were looking at the sun with the Venus transit. There was a lot of pictures because people were photographing it because they were looking with filters at the sun, and they could see Nibiru or Planet X complex right to the side of it. So it's not a matter to me that there's not some awesome major things happening. Most people don't go there. They don't dwell on it. They don't really want to believe it. So, you know, see no evil, there is no evil. And but if you put all these things together, the flux and the electromagnetic fields around the Earth are being amplified by solar flares. You know, that's another thing that's impacting the Earth. We're supposed to be hitting a solar max, the solar flares over this next year. And there's also the strong electromagnetic fields in the Planet X complex, which is, you know, part of this mix of the quantum soup. It's all connected. And perhaps the strongest accelerant of what I call cosmic fire, which is like an accelerant in this whole process, is this mix in the 2012 surge in the quantum source field itself. In other words, this galactic alignment thing is probably the strongest effect. It's subtle, but you know, the way it's causing this surge in the quantum field, in the source field. And again, the articles I've had on this, that one on the EMs, the electromagnetic shift, 2012 EM shift. I think, you know, it's a matter of all these factors. It's not anything in particular as much as, you know, the cosmic agenda, the cosmic plan. And it's the cycle right now. And there's a science to it, and if you look at it from all the angles, it just gets really interesting.
So as all this unfolds, the big question besides what's the transition look like will be, is this an all of a sudden event, or is this... Whoops.
Pardon?
I don't know. I heard some.
I got it.
No, oh, okay. Is this an all of a sudden event, or is this going to, I think, as you mentioned, things are starting, have happened for a while. You can see things going on. But when it gets right down to the more intense activity, is it going to happen slowly? Are you going to wake up one morning and all of a sudden? It's very interesting to wonder how this may unfold. And then, of course, the next question after that, if it's unfolding little, you know, enough to where you can do something about it, what does the average person do? Or if it's just you wake up the next morning and, my goodness gracious, everything is turned upside down, then what? Is it too late? Is it, you know, that becomes people talk about that all the time. To what extent can one prepare? And I don't get a whole issue about preparedness, but on the physical, but on the spiritual and the emotional, you know, how do you prepare for this sort of thing?
Well, we're getting into the philosophical heart of the issue, and I think it'd be good for listeners to know that you have been a philosophy professor at a junior college.
Yeah, right here, the local community college here in the area. I had a chance to teach for a few years, and I got a lot of opportunities to explore. I was teaching critical thinking, so yeah, I like to ask a lot of questions. It's just you know, you asked me earlier what do I see, and there's one thing in terms of the preparedness world, and then there's another thing just in
the spiritual
the
spiritual,
yeah, the way
preparedness
students
is a
are being
whole,
prepared,
yeah,
for all of this, and
yeah,
and you know, there's been some fascinating books written about the intentional dumbing down of our country, and that's a whole other thing from a intellectual point of view. I don't think there's any doubt that there is an intention to dumb down, And that's why it'll be interesting to see as these other influences occur, what's going to happen to the folks that have not been kind of tuned into a little bit more of the critical thinking processes and that you would hope most people would have the skills to evaluate and embrace that which they've evaluated in research. And if people don't have those skills, those critical thinking skills, one wonders then how it's going to look when a lot of these other factors occur, or when, as you said earlier, you suddenly kind of, not suddenly, but you begin to realize, you know, I haven't been given the straight scoop here. The information has been wrong. The internet is just filled with every possible perspective. And if you don't have the skill to discern and to evaluate, it becomes no different than the media, where you just kind of turn on the evening news and you just take it in as if, oh, yeah, this is what's really happening. Or if you go to the internet, it can even be worse, because some of these sites, it's not just, kind of vanilla news. It's hardcore disinformation. And then in other places, yes, it is very accurate. But
or some of them will have a mix of, there'll be 95%, 99% truth, and then some really big lie that, you know, people accept hook, line, and sinker because everything else was so credible. And, you know, this
right,
kind of
brings
me back to one of my favorite quotes, I think it's by Buckminster Fuller, that said that the more information that we have, the greater is the need to get it all in order.
Absolutely. And when you have an educational system which teaches you or indoctrinates you into the total opposite,
what to think rather than how to think,
credible amount of information, then what do you do with it? People, and so this is another aspect of this whole transition. There's a lot of presumption that people will be able to relate to it or use it, or who knows? I just don't know what's going to happen to massive amount of people that
I have,
don't know what they're doing.
When I said it's going to be like being on LSD or DMT, the God molecule, what I'm really saying is that those who are more, we got another caller coming in.
You want to take the other call here?
Yeah, Dennis, maybe you can stay on and we'll take another call.
Oh, okay, sure. I'll hang on.
Well, hold on, Dennis, and we'll just hang in together.
Okay.
If you can do that, Doug. Okay, hello. Got another caller on? Hello.
Hello there.
Well, who's this?
Can you hear me? I'm getting an echo here. This is Tommy. How you guys doing today?
Hi, Tommy. Good to talk with you.
Fine.
What's the good word?
Well, you guys got it going on there. I love this kind of stuff. I just wanted to jump in there for a minute and collaborate, join in there. I'm sorry I caught your show a little late, but I can relate. Just wanted to add my little perspective here on the last 10 minutes you guys are talking about. Just getting a little bit of an echo. Can you hear me okay?
Or, I can hear you fine.
I can hear you fine.
Is this coming through? Okay, good. Yeah, you. I'm following this in this timeline in my own, perspective. And, of course, I have my view on it. And it's always an effort to endeavor to simplify something that's just not a short conversation, as I see it, it's quite simple. There's a super wave coming, okay? It's a ribbon, micro wormholes, and everything now is a transition up to it to be able to absorb enough light to a certain threshold in preparation so you can catch this wave when it arrives. If this very happy super wave, let's say the God force in the universe, does not judge its own creation.
You're talking about the super wave like the source field?
the ribbon that's been known for thousands of years, like layers of an onion emanating out from the great central sun or universe.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sometimes called the dark rift.
Yes, it's going to sweep through this area and actually uplift the whole universe to another frequency of higher living.
Oh, see, that's what the galactic alignment is talking about, and it really is alignment with that core rift energy, you know, ribbon that runs right through the galactic plane, and our solar system is crossing that. So it's just a different way of saying the same thing.
And the pole shift, as you were, as it's being covered up, is simply an energetic one. The Earth is not going to flip. What's happening is that the layers protecting the Earth from the radiation is thinning, so the barrier is thin so it can let in more light, radiant light, to light up the DNA, which is information, which the DNA is light and light is information, to remember ourselves back together again from the emotionally dismembered psyche, to help us to uplift ourselves from within. We're getting this help, and to a certain threshold, the world is on the edge of a transition in short, quick time, and we're getting the help that mankind cannot do on his own because he's too incompetent and dumbed down too much to do it. So we're getting the galactic help and mentorship and guidance coming very soon.
So, Tommy, you're saying that this you might say what they call the thinning of the veil is the thinning of the protective atmosphere around the Earth or whatever that's blocking these cosmic rays coming in and accelerating the rate of change in our atom cells and DNA and electrons, so to speak.
Yes, it's a DNA recoding, and it's a spontaneous one, and it's all of a caterpillar to a butterfly. And you're seeing a lot of people that are confused out here that go into the future in 2015 and 20 and it oh by no.
That, it's going on right now.
Yeah, the clock in.
And when you talk about like a caterpillar into butterfly, you know, metamorphosis, a lot of people right now, I think, and Dennis, this is kind of what we've talked about, a lot of people are kind of in the gray gunge stage, you know, when a caterpillar goes into a cocoon and it kind of, its body dissolves into a gray gunge, just like this, it just kind of dissolves, mm-hmm. and then there's these imaginal cells in that gooey gunge that's inside the cocoon that creates the caterpillar the butterfly out of that just gooey stuff inside the cocoon, and there's like a complete transformation. Well, I think a lot of people's consciousness is in that gray gunge stage. You know, they haven't emerged as a butterfly yet, and there's just like this systemic confusion on the Earth.
It's interesting. Go ahead.
Go ahead, you please.
Yeah, I wrote an interesting piece. I think I mentioned you. I've taught, and I was a barrier, as I listened to the conversation, it's called Barriers to Critical Thinking, and I use it in the class, and it's on my Learn to Prepare blog, which is learntoprepare.com. And I think what you just said, Christopher, is that there's a lot of stuff out there that are preventing people, there are barriers to this process of not just evaluation, but of just being, I hate to use the word open, but just being aware of all of this stuff that is going on and helping it along and not resisting it. And there are so many barriers, there are so many factors right now, as you say, in this gray, this grunge state, that keep people from being discerning, that keep people from actually wanting to experience all of this. And I think ultimately, as we've said all along, it's based out of fear, and we've been indoctrinated all our lives to have fear, and to, you know, it's just there, it's all around us. But so, yeah, there are a lot of factors right now keeping people from being sensitive and aware of all of this transition. And one just can hope that
as things transform, we
can be aware of it, you know, be sensitive to it, use it, utilize it.
Well, I think that the just like there's these, they call them imaginal cells in that great gunge, in the dissolved caterpillar inside the cocoon, that is actually the blueprint for the butterfly, and it reorganizes all the stuff that was the caterpillar into this whole new creature. And this is what I think with the spontaneous evolution you're talking about, Tommy, this is what's going on in what sometimes referred to as the source field, this coded intelligence, really light, carrying intelligence that is rebooting our DNA, just like these imaginal cells. It's like it's rebooting, you know, the material plane tuning fork, which is the DNA, which is the tuning fork, not just between the energetics of the body and the, you know, the biochemistry of the body, but it's like a tuning fork transceiver with cosmos. This is what they found out, and this is where effective sensory perception, or, you know, gifts of the Holy Spirit, you know, ESP, there's nothing extra about it when you've got it, you know, and it's a way to explain what's going on, is that there is an intuitive, all-connected field of intelligence, and when we get ourselves out of the way, that it comes through. And I think that's what's happening, is that there's the imaginal cells, you know, in the collective consciousness is rebooting, you know, cosmic law. Now, when I say cosmic law, I'm talking about the order of the universe, which is, you know, at a core level is a frame of reference of conscience, you know, of sentient conscience that I think is going to come out of this process into the end of 2012. I think there's going to be, when I say a massive awakening, I'm not sure how dramatic it's going to get as far as electromagnetic pole shift or physical pole shift, but I know a lot of people are just having a burst of understanding of things, and they're starting to, like, you know, get the big picture of what something really big is going on, and it really is from the inside out.
Well, yeah, keep informed, I tell people. Just be sensitive exactly to the inner voice. We call it open the eyes of my heart. And people need the eyes of their heart to be opened.
It's not
between the ears. It's what's in the heart that is really going to be make an influence.
I think you hit it on the head, that the electromagnetics of the heart are something like 200 times the strength of the magnetics of the brain. Actually, I just put that chart up on a website recently, and I didn't realize it myself. And that when the brain goes down, the heart really needs to kick in. If you know what I mean.
Yeah,
if and when there's going to be, whenever push comes to shove and we're under stress, the safest policy is to go into one's heart, or, you know, the expression being centered and connected in the heart rather than the brain. And, you know, with the deep breathing and the harmonics, it's more of a frequency thing with, you know, harmonics in the heart. The brain tends to function with structured associations, which compartmentalizes things in the left brain, and it's more intuitive in the right brain. And I think that this, when I say that, you know, that my intuition is that a lot of people, if and when the electromagnetic shift hits critical mass, or there's electromagnetic pole shift of the Earth, people are going to survive, are going to go into their right brain. They're going to become more intuitive. They're not going to be thinking. They're going to be basically sensing with what I call effective sensory perception, with intuition. They're going to be proactive in an inspired, intuitive way to know what to do. And that requires being centered and connected, harmonious, calm, fearless faith, however you want to put it. I like to think of it as the still mountain lake, where you still your consciousness and it reflects the heavens, and you can see through into the depths of the unconscious. And that this process, if and when, you know, as I say, it picks up and reaches a critical mass, there's going to be a lot of people that will go into fear, and their worst fears will come upon them, and their hearts will stop. You know, they'll just freak out. And other people, I really believe that are centered and connected. It's all in divine order, perfect faith. You know, dear God, you know I'm ready. If it's Thy will, you know Thy will be, and just the surrender thing, where people just give up their, try to control everything with their minds, and just go with the flow with their intuitive, you know, heart centered.
In our society, which has been in the term we use there in the class is egocentrism, we have been so conditioned our whole life to see everything through the ego, through the self. Everything is totally filtered through us. And all of a sudden, and yet, you know, in the Christian tradition, of course, in any tradition, you got to let go, as you just said. You let go of your lifetime of conditioning and turn it over to God. Okay, I'm going to let go. And, you know, the whole biblical issue is trust. I mean, that's kind of the bottom line. Trust God. I mean, He's in charge. The divine plan here, and how difficult it is for so many people to let go and trust that there is a greater force, a greater purpose here. And that's hopefully that's part of what all of this is going to be about. People will trust, let go, and not be so centered in themselves.
It's a very convoluted universe, and also multiplexed on a high order, and we've been trained for simple answers that it's got to be either this or that, and it's just not. It's everything. But you know, there's such a tremendous amount of pressure upon the consciousness from the control aspect to drain the very valuable, considerable energy charge from the electromagnetic body battery into an explosion outside your body in a hijacked giveaway into a fiction that does not exist.
That's the whole downward spiral of civilization with disease, dysfunction, disintegration,
a lot of
disconnect and desecration of the sacred.
A lot of people think some magical fairy dust is going to fall out of the sky and make everybody wonderful and all be able to get along. And this ascension period is a very highly engineered, orchestrated event of a high intelligence order. Unless anybody could get out of the box and imagine what this 5D experience is that has no time involved, or duality is removed, then they will not. Most people don't have a reason to let go of this old matrix.
I'm going to have to cut you short there. We're at the end of our show. I want to thank you for coming on.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Christopher.
And Dennis, I do want to thank you too for coming on, sharing with us today. And I appreciate for those who've been listening. And I hope we can all agree that interesting times. And so happy trails to everyone. Until we meet again, we'll be seeing everyone here that is interested in another couple weeks on Cosmic Love. Thanks for listening, everyone. Goodbye now.